The airways belong to the devil right now. Do you know that? The prince of the power of the air. He is trying to get our case today. I hope you've been praying. The children did a wonderful song. It wasn't recorded live, but it will be up later on Facebook and YouTube. Hopefully we have it, so we'll be able to upload it. So you'll be able to find that later, for especially you parents, so you can show off your kids. We're kind of excited about Christmas and what is happening. And I need the hymnal. I need the hymnal because I don't know if you've read the words as you were singing. Sometimes it's hard to sing and read at the same time. We kind of ponder those words, right? Of I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to man. Don't we need it now? And even this song talks about it. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. Oops, did the Lord fail? Did he make a mistake? No, he's just not finished. He's not finished. This carol that we sing, this story that we tell, is an old, familiar story. It's one that believers ponder in their hearts. If you know the Lord and you love him and you love that story, and especially if you've been touched by the Lord, you hold this story in your heart. You hold Christmas in your heart. And Redemption Day, I don't call it Easter. Redemption Day, we hold it in our hearts. We're excited about it. And we honestly show our devotion by a couple things. One, think about the communion we just had. That's our devotion to the story, our devotion to the Lord, our devotion in remembering who he is and that he's coming again. Our devotion in prayer, our devotion to his bride, to each other. We show our devotion. In that we are being wise. We're being very wise in knowing the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody else wants to tell us their truth, but it's not truth at all. We're being very wise in wanting to know the way and the truth and the life, and then being devoted for it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The reason I dropped the myrrh is because Jesus isn't dead anymore. Jesus is alive, but we still need to be bringing gifts. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born of King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and all an assembly, all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. Why was Herod trembling? Why was he afraid? His life, or at least his position, is about ready to be upended, so he thinks. Why are the people terrified? Because King Herod's a bad guy. And when he goes on a rampage, it's usually not good. So the town is trembling as well. Oh, we've got enough problems with the Romans. Now we got this new king who wants to be king. So who are these wise men? Well, let's see if we can learn. You know, we tell the same story and we want to tell the same story and over and over. But let's see if we can learn a little more, or at least be reminded of some things that are really helpful, okay? Who are these wise men? Well, they're from the east. That's what the Bible says. They're from the east. And in general, back in the Old Testament, that's where the wise men were. In 1 Kings 4:30, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East. And Job was the greatest of all the children of the East. Isn't that interesting? It seems like maybe something is happening in the East. What do you think? Something is in the East that causes wise men to be wise if they want to be and be devoted, or they can use that for their own glory and usurp other kings and come to naught, because the Lord says that they're going to come to naught. That means nothing. Something started in the East. What is out East? Who is out East? It's time to introduce Daniel. Daniel was about 600 years before Jesus Christ. In the second book of Daniel, the second chapter of Daniel, all the wise men of the East are about ready to get killed. Nebuchadnezzar is going to about ready to kill everybody because they can't tell him what he wants to know. And in fact, don't just tell me what it means, tell me what I dreamed. Oh boy, that's a big one. And so nobody can do that, right? So everybody's about ready to die. And then Daniel says, don't kill them. Because see, Daniel in chapter 1 says God gave him and them, the three with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all four of them learning and skill in literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding. In verse 20, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding, every matter, by the way, every matter, about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters and wise men in all his kingdom. So, devotion. In chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel would open his windows in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem. Now, that's important. Because, see, he's in the East, and he's pointing to Jerusalem. And whenever the Jews were outside the city, they were supposed to pray toward Jerusalem, because that's where the Lord resided, and that was where his city was. Well, the Lord wasn't residing there anymore, but the city was there, they were told to continue to do that practice because the Lord had not given up. Like we heard this morning, the Lord had not given up on Zion or Jerusalem. So Daniel, being the wise man that he was, remember, wiser than everybody else, who was put in charge of everybody else, he got down on his knees. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but when I hear good news, I want to be that bell. We should be that bell if it's good news, right? The good news. But we want to shout, we want to tell everybody, and we want to, hey, look what I learned, and the Lord says, toward the end of time, people are going to be doing that, tickling people's ears. I'm going to ring my bell and tickle your ear. First thing Daniel does is get on his knees. In fact, it was a continual devotion of Daniel. Now, why am I introducing Daniel with the wise men? Because the wise men are from the East, and Daniel was in the East. And so, Daniel 2:27, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, no wise men, or chanters, or enchanters, or magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery. Only God in heaven. So, after doing his work for the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made request of the king, who appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Because why? Because, well, there's three wise men. Actually, four. You see, it's happening in the East. It didn't stop there. That's 600 years before the Lord, and about 500, or around 470. That's still 470 years before the Lord. It basically happened again. Can you recall? The two people who were wise and humble in the East? Do you remember Esther and Mordecai? Mordecai, in royal robes of blue and white, was given a great golden crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. And he was ahead of all the officials and the satraps and the governors and the royal agents because they helped the Jews. And they feared Mordecai, who was given great understanding. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai grew more and more powerful. Letters were sent to all the Jews and to the 127 provinces of Persia of the time. The whole complete Iran of letters are coming from Mordecai. And guess who else? Queen Esther. The command of Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writings that these days should be remembered. Oh, those people in the East were pretty wise because the Lord had given them wise people. Wise people. And so you think about this now. You have 600 BC that you had wisdom in the East. In fact, you before that, Job goes way back before Moses. So the Lord had established something in the East. It's really interesting. He doesn't do that for no reason. He does it for a reason, because something is going to come out of the East. And by the way, it must come from the East. Now, what is this something and what is this someone? Well, this is what Daniel taught, because this is what he wrote. There's a kingdom. It's going to destroy all the others. See Daniel 2:45. It's an eternal kingdom, says Daniel 4:3. It's a Jewish king. Daniel was taken from Israel. And it says, Gabriel said, your people, the angel of your people, Michael, will come. And then, of course, he's going to be a savior and a Messiah, an appointed one. And he's going to be cut off, which means he's going to die for the sins that Daniel himself prayed for, him and his fathers. He prayed for his own sins. So now watch. Daniel 5:11. This is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of magicians and enchanters and the Chaldeans, wise men and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge and wisdom to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were given to him. Who's talking there? Well, that's Nebuchadnezzar's wife. Nebuchadnezzar's gone. And she is talking to her son, Belshazzar, who's about ready to get whipped by the Medes. Remember the writing on the wall? Nobody can figure it out. The queen says, I know somebody, a very wise man, calls in Daniel. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now listen, folks. He's in the realm of Nebuchadnezzar. He's in the realm of the Medes, and he's in the realm of the Persians. The Lord gave this man, some people say at least 85 years old when he died, three nations to preach to in the East. He was given honor and leadership in all three. He was ahead of the wise people, the wise men. To him was given direction and specificity, if I can use that word, a time period of when this Messiah would come. Daniel 9:25. Daniel talks about the 70 weeks. So now, folks, you have this man who lived through the lions. You remember the lion's den? the little kitty story that nobody believes. We believe he lived through that time because he didn't bow to the king. This brave man, do you think that he's just going to teach all these people what 1 + 1 is? I don't think so. I think he's teaching them the truth. I think he's got these Bible studies going on saying, you know what happened to me last night? Gabriel showed up. Yeah, okay. What'd he say? Well, listen, folks, listen. Just remember this now. Listen, I lived through the lion's den, okay? You remember what happened there. You remember the fiery furnace, don't you? Remember that? I was out of town when that happened. But my three boys, they went through, and there was a fourth guy. That wasn't just a guy. That was the Son of the Living God. He was there. You saw that. It's written in the annals of the king. And I wrote them down for you. Should I remember them for you? They're learning from Daniel. They're learning from Esther. They're learning from Mordecai. They're learning from Job. They're learning from others. So for 600 years, and I would say thousands of years, you remember that Abraham came from there. Yeah, Abraham, where are you headed? I'm leaving town. What do you mean you're leaving town? I was told to leave town. Well, don't you know that your dad is a big guy here in town, and we buy all our idols and stuff for you? Where are you going? Where are we going to get our stuff? I don't know. You got to find somebody else. We're leaving. Where are you headed? We're going to a place where God's going to show me. You don't know? Not yet. You see? Things have been happening in the East for a long time. We shouldn't be surprised that there's wise people and wise men coming out of the East. So now, you have Nebuchadnezzar, and you have Darius, and then you have Artaxerxes the First with Esther and Mordecai, Xerxes. You have all these people. And you have this timeline, this 70 weeks of when Artaxerxes the First, remember now, this is one of the kings that lived during Esther's time, okay? So Esther and Mordecai's people and the Persians there heard and saw the decree and saw the Jews leaving again. Hey, Jew, where are you headed? I'm going back to Jerusalem. Well, who said you could? You're in exile here and you're imprisoned. Well, your king wrote a letter. Didn't you see it? There's a letter out there authorizing us to go back. From the day that that decree was issued, Daniel says, actually the angel to Daniel said, start counting the days. 173,880 days. Every jot and tittle, folks. The Lord doesn't work in that way, does he? Again, I go back to Joe Mason. Me and Joe Mason always do kind of bounce this off of each other. Why isn't, you know, we want to see some real miracles here, you know. Lord, come on, bring them back. They're going to come back. When they're going to come back, we probably don't want to be here. The first one, I think, is going to be the rapture. Something was happening strange back then. These angels and people talking to Daniel and giving him the exact period that the Messiah would come and be cut off. Okay, let's see. You, you're pretty wise, and you got a great family, great sons, by the way. We're good-looking kids. So, hey, come on over here. I got something to teach you. Sit down, give them a little math history. Okay, start counting. You can count 1, 2, 3, right? Start keeping a calendar. 174, basically 1,000 days. Start counting. Start counting. And if, folks, if I was a devoted person, would I count? I'm counting now. And I'm not counting days. I'm counting prophecies that have been fulfilled and are going to be fulfilled. Gog and Magog is happening right now. Are you watching? Pestilences? You know what I tell unbelievers now? They tell me, don't give me this stuff. Good friends, they're polite, some of them. Some of them others. Don't give me this stuff. The last thing I say, would you just do me a favor? Do yourself a favor? Would you just watch? Just watch. Because when things start going south, just cry out to the Lord. We heard that this morning too in Sunday school. Just cry out to the Lord. He'll save you. These things are coming to by. So with us devoted people, we're watching this stuff. So these devoted people, these devoted wise men are coming out of the east. We shouldn't be too surprised. They were hoping. By the way, at that point, the Romans are in charge and the Persians are going down the tubes. They've got big problems. The Romans have. So now there's darkness in the east. We're looking for some help. Oh, you remember that prophecy about that king? Remember that star that was going to rise? Yeah. Yeah. In the writings of Daniel and Esther and Mordecai and Job and others. Who else was watching? Remember Miss Anna standing in the temple? There was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was well along in years. She had been married for 7 years and then was a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and prayer. That's devotion. That's her 600 years. By the way, just a plug for women. You need to understand what Paul says about being silent in the church. It doesn't mean being quiet. It means at a specific time. Women were to pray. Women were to prophesy. Read 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, those three chapters, four chapters. And you'll understand that women are not to be quiet except for a certain instant. Well, the men could learn from that too. How about somebody else looking? How about Simeon? Remember Simeon? There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and, there's that word, devout. He was devoted, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was devoted. He was a Daniel 600 years later. You're a Daniel 2,600 years later. We're devoted to our King. That's why you show up on Sunday morning on a beautiful day. You could be out doing whatever. We come here because we're devoted to the Word. Why Jerusalem? Why did they go to Jerusalem? Folks, we need to understand something here. It's really helpful if we do. Did the star lead them to Jerusalem? Why Jerusalem? In Psalm 2, it talks about a king. 400 years before Daniel, it talks about a king. King from heaven. In Psalm 60, it talks about Judah is the scepter. It talks about Judah. It talks about, there's so many writings about Zion, Jerusalem. You understand that. Hundreds of years. Daniel, you know this. He wrote about reading Isaiah. He knows where the royal throne is. In Genesis 49, 2,000 years before Jesus and 1,400 years before Daniel, it says this prophecy, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. That's the Messiah. And he's talking about Judah, and the capital of Judah is Jerusalem. Where's a wise man going to go look for a king? He's going to go to Jerusalem. That's why he has to ask. That's why the three men had to ask. They specifically asked. Where is he to be born? They didn't know. Wait a minute. I thought there was a star. There's a star up there somewhere. Did they lose glimpse of the star? Oh, it's a cloudy day. Right? What's going on here? You know, that Saturn and Jupiter and Regulus and all those, they're lining up, you know, right? Well, here's another riddle. How long does it take to get from Tehran, Iran, to Jerusalem on a camel? Anybody know? Well, they didn't start in Tehran, the capital of Iran. Maybe they started in Elam, which is down south. Some give them another 150 miles. Maybe it's 800 miles. You're talking a month. 1 month. You're not talking about three kings. You're talking about a caravan. There's only three gifts. So you got a caravan of camels and donkeys. Maybe somebody in here could tell me how fast a donkey walks. And maybe a stubborn one. How long does it take? A month, at least a month, to get hundreds of people to Jerusalem. Are they following a star? So, on the 21st, is that tomorrow? On the 21st, down in the southwest, they're going to have a star. And they're calling it the Christmas star. And because it's showing up around Christmas. Happened about 800 years ago. How long does that star stay together? About 1 day. 1 day. Now, you can track Regulus, the lion. You can track these across. I've tracked them, several years ago. We did some meat work on it and looked at them. And they're wonderful things happening. But what is happening here? Because this star disappears. They go to Jerusalem and they say, where is he to be born? Well, listen, folks, if I'm following a star, all I got to do is wait and that star is going to take me to Bethlehem, right? They didn't do that. They went to Jerusalem and asked. Because that's where you find the king. So, here's the gates. Here's the eastern gates. These are the golden gates. Why are they called the eastern gates? It's called the gate of mercy, by the way, as well. Where do these point, do you think? They point to the east. Because that's where Jesus is coming. That's where the Shekinah glory of God is coming. Well, why would he come that way? Because, number one, that's where he comes. And number two, that's where he was prophesied to come. And number three, that's where he left. Did you know he left there? He left there. So watch this. A star from the east. In Numbers 24:17, 1400 years before Jesus, 800 years before Daniel, there's a prophecy. I see him now. I see him, but not now. I hold him, but not near. A star. A star will come forth from Jacob's, a scepter will arise from Israel. Matthew 16. The Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, the Shekinah glory. How were the Israelites led through the desert? Not by a star, by fire. How was Moses called aside from his job? By a bush, a fiery bush. Did you know that the light comes from the east? Everybody knows that the sun rises in the east because that's where the sun comes from. The Jews in their houses and especially in their synagogues, they have a wall called the Mitzrah. It means the eastern wall. Because that's where you pray to, that's where you look to. Because in general, in the West now, you look east because that's where Jerusalem is. But remember, the Lord's coming from the east. Ezekiel 11:23, the glory of the Lord went up from the middle of the city. It stood on the mountain that is on the east side of the city. Why? Because the Lord comes and goes in the east. See, the north is bad. You don't want anything coming from the north. Just ask Ezekiel and ask others. There's a storm coming from the north. They're all bad from the north. Ezekiel 43:2, and I saw the glory of God. Now watch. So he left in the east, going out the east. Watch in Ezekiel 43. This is future. And I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And by the way, it says in Ezekiel 44, this wall is to be closed until the Lord comes. Real quick. This wall is higher than the original wall. So Saladin, who was the Ottoman Empire king, he plugged this up. And he put all Muslim graves in front of there. Because no Messiah would come across, no Jew would come across those dead bodies. And by the way, you can't get in through a cemented gate. They don't know Jesus. They found the original gate below this level. It's there. By the way, this is the Temple Mount. They told him, because they weren't seeing the star right now, they were talking to this people, and so the king told them the scribes told the king, Herod, he is born in Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Confirming what they knew already. And then he tells them, and watch what Herod does, because he's scared. He calls them in secretly. And he says, he summoned them secretly and ascertained from them what the time they had appeared, the wise men, when did you see the star? And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, no, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship. So now they get some information. They got to go to Bethlehem. All right. The star didn't tell them that. The word of God told them that. Now, after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen before, if I can put that word in there, they had seen when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, you can go through all the commentaries and try to figure out what this star is, but this star doesn't come and go. A star doesn't come and go. It comes and then it goes. But the Shekinah glory comes and goes. And I believe that the Shekinah glory is the Shekinah glory, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, and they went into the house, and they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, later on, you're going to find out that Herod kills kids. And he asked them, when was it? And, you know, okay, so kill everybody 2 years and younger. Okay, you've heard that. Well, he had to be 2 years old here. I don't believe that. I believe that this is at the birth of Jesus Christ. They take him from the inn. The inn, the word for the inn is a people were traveling. You're traveling afar. You need to come and stay. There was no place there. So they put him in a cave. And the cave is where you kept the animals. That cave, some of those caves were built in the foundation or the basement of some of those houses. So I believe that there's an inn, and in the basement is your animals. They go down, they feed the little lambs, the ones that they got to keep out of the cold, and that's where Mary and Joseph is. And when room shows up, or about when she's time to have the baby, they move her upstairs. They move her upstairs into the house, because the word is the house. And the kings show up at the birth, because the star showed up at the birth. These wise men, you know, what's interesting to me is the whole plan of the East was for the king to be the wisest man. Because if he was dumb, he had a problem. So he wanted to be the wisest. And he only got his wisdom from very wise people. Okay? He would get bits and pieces and he would get it all. So that's why you call for the enchanters. You call for the magicians, you call for the astronomers and astrologers, and it happens in Exodus 7 when the Pharaoh called them, and again in Esther when the king called them. It says, interesting in Esther, it says, the king consulted the wise men who knew the times. It was customary for him to confer with experts in the law and justice. In Daniel 5, again, remember, it happens with the queen when the king is calling for help. And so the king is supposed to be wise. But see, when you don't have a devoted king, you're out for your own self, like Herod is. And that's why the people around him were afraid, because they knew something bad was going to happen. The gifts. The gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which is probably just exactly what you've been learned, you've taught over the years, that you give gold to a king. You give frankincense for the priests, because remember, the incense, of the smell of the incense and the prayers of the saints go up to the Lord. And the myrrh was probably for burial. It was used for priests as well. But it doesn't matter exactly what they were used for. The issue is, these are really, really expensive. They're the best gifts that you could bring. These people from the East who didn't know King Herod or any of those Jews, at least, brought these gifts. You know why? Because they're devoted to that hope. They're devoted to a thought. They're devoted to a lesson that they have been taught for centuries, that hope is on the way. If you find out that hope is on the way, where else are you going to go? Didn't even Peter say that? Where else are we going to go? Remember when the 70 disciples were sent out and they came back and they were ratting and raving, and we could cast out demons and we could do all these kinds of things. And then right afterward, Jesus said, "You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." They didn't understand it and they went away. You remember that? I don't understand that. And it scares me. Because I don't never want to go away. I see something like that, I would never go away, I would think, I hope. And yet, I get some misunderstanding and all of a sudden I'm out of here. So Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "Will you too go away?" Do you see what's out here? It's a beautiful day. You got 40 degree temperatures on the end of December. We're going to get some rain, hopefully, and some snow toward the end, so the farmers will be happy. We want them to be happy. We got to grow stuff. But right now, it's gorgeous. But don't turn on the news. Anybody lined up to get the shot? Do you see the things that we're dealing with? We have a memorial this afternoon. Because death is still a curse. And we're dealing with these curses. However, who's heard of Daniel? Who's read Esther? We teach those to the kids. We teach them to all of us, and I hope we teach them to ourselves, because this is the hope. And it could be 60 years or 600 years. How long are you going to stick around? Until he comes or he takes me home. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I hope that when you read, that you kind of get a visual of Daniel. He's got his windows open to the east, and he gets on his knees, and he's devoting himself to the Lord. And then the Lord's saving him from the lion's den. Daniel 7:13. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man," the Baranasha. I said this before and I'll say it again. This portion of Daniel is written in Arabic. It's not written in Hebrew. It's written in Aramaic, and so Jesus spoke Aramaic. The Galileans there spoke Aramaic. And so when he was standing in front of Caiaphas, and Caiaphas rejected him, and after Jesus was slapped, Jesus said to them, "You will not see me again," in Aramaic, "until you see the Bar Anasha coming on the clouds." That's wonderful. It's a judgment on them, but it's a promise to us. It's a promise that this very saying goes back to 600 years before Jesus Christ, and somebody was devoted to it. It was devoted to it. We were talking about the scrolls at Qumran, how they got dug up in 1949. Because some shepherd kid was leading his goats and was throwing rocks, like we used to do when we were kids. Don't throw rocks! And he busted a jar. And he found the first set of scrolls. And what comes out of there? The book of Daniel and all the other books, except for, I think, Esther. All the other books and Isaiah in its totality, confirming what we should be devoted to. It's easy for me, I hope, it's easy for all of us to be devoted when you hear things like that. Because we have an Ancient of Days who is coming for us. He was raised from the dead because he came as a virgin, from a virgin girl, woman. So, the one like the Son of Man will come, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. In the last 3 weeks, we've taught about some of the gifts of the Lord to you. And the greatest, of course, is his Holy Spirit, because he raised from the dead. He gave us his Holy Spirit, who enlightens our life and causes us to believe and saves us. And so we have all of those gifts. More to come, folks. More to come. What's the one gift that we can give him? Anybody have a bunch of gold? And you can't store that in heaven anyway. Can't store that treasure. What's the one? It's devotion. It's devotion. I love you, Lord. In spite of my sin and darkness and all the stuff that I think, I wish it would just go away. And all the things that travels behind me that Satan wants to keep reminding me of. And if that isn't enough, I'm angry at my next door neighbor because of his dog. Or whatever it is. Right? We got that stuff. Oh, the Lord's going to put all that away. He's got so many more gifts to come. The one gift that we can give him is devotion. No matter what. When you're angry, when you're tired, when you're mad, when you come down a little bit, just say you're sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Here's my heart back. Here's my devotion. Here's the rest of my day. Here's my night. You have my life. You have it. Let's just stand and sing this. I put a little bit of a different verse on this. Go tell it on the mountain. So go and tell, in your devotion, go and tell your family and friends. Be wise about how you do it. Be loving about how you do it. And take the story to them. Because the truth is still coming from the east. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, our Jesus Christ is born. When I was a seeker, I sought both day and night. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, our Jesus Christ is born. Lord, we love you, and we worship you, and we pray to you, Holy Spirit in particular, now help us be devoted to our Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Father. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.